Wanna take that opportunity to share with you. I know I have share the guidelines when it comes to the coronavirus. I have shared that guidance from that Seventh-day Adventist Health Ministry. Some of you already know. I'm pretty sure you've been seeing everything in the news, right? What's happening? I guess you've been updated. So I hope that all of you were able to get, those guidelines. Some of the church board members were supposed to share with all the ministries. But a specific, I know I've been getting like texts from some of you, as well from the other church, in terms of, Pastor, should we close church? Should we, in a way, cancel all the activities? Should we cancel potluck? Questions like that. Of course, I think we have to make our own, a good judgment when it comes to this kind of situations, right? So when I was coming this morning, I come just like I normally come as a pastor, and I greet everybody just as I normally greet everybody, right? Until Kim was the one that reminded me that there is this coronavirus. And if we do have some guidelines in the church when it comes to those kind of things, and I say, yes, we do. So three things are specific, okay, when it comes to this. We know, based on what we have heard on the news, and that this thing is actually, not stopping. More cases. We are finding out that there are more cases. As a matter of fact, we have our first Seventh-day Adventist that passed, that died actually because of this coronavirus. And by the way, not here in the United States, it was actually a missionary that was actually helping in China, okay, that actually got the coronavirus and actually passed away. So let's pray and lift those families, and as well, everybody, all the families that has been affected with this. Nonetheless, that the only thing that we could do is, of course, they're saying keep distance, at least 3 feet away. Wash your hands at least for 20 seconds with soap. I know a lot of people have been going crazy about that hand sanitizer. As a matter of fact, they run out hand sanitizers. You can't find it. If you go on Amazon, if you go like online, I mean, they'll probably rip you. Like they'll sell you things like for like $50, $100, the small bottles and things like that. But don't panic. Okay? The most important thing is don't panic. As a matter of fact, you as a Seventh-day Adventist, you as the one that know and understand the Holy Scripture, you know that these things are to happen, right? And the Word of God tells us, and as a matter of fact, last night we had a wonderful Bible study with the men's ministry. Right, John? Wasn't that wonderful? We studied the book of Matthew chapter 24, where it talks about, all this pestilence, all these things that were to happen. It says that, in the last day, these kind of things are to happen. But it's not for us, the ones that are called the light of the world, to be panicking about it. It's more, in a way, for us to understand and to see that, these things are being fulfilled. And it's more like for us to prepare ourselves. But how do you prepare yourself? By hiding? By staying at home, closing your doors, your windows, and you don't come out at all? Is that how you're going to prevent this? Is that how you're going to protect yourself from this? Is that how you're going to be safe? As a matter of fact, you won't. And we know that. Okay? We know that. But we are to bring hope to people, yes? We are to preach to people. We are to tell people, yes, these things are going to happen, but we shouldn't be, you know, like worry the way we worry or panicking the way we do. So nonetheless, make a good judgment when it comes to this kind of stuff. Okay? So we know for a fact, and we've been recommending, that's why you don't see Hermogena, you don't see Paul, you don't see Paul San Miguel, because we know for a fact that, you know, this coronavirus is more lethal, all right, to people, should I say it in the third age type, or like older people, okay, then especially those that has like some kind of like, the what? The golden years, okay, the golden years. All right. But it's especially those people that have, like, you know, some chronic disease and things like that, so that is more lethal to them. So that's why some of them are, you know, have been staying at home, and we praise God, you know, that at least they want to follow also protocol. And the same thing we want to do, like, for our greeters. You don't have to, you know, like greet people like we normally do. You could just say, hello, how are you? And we hope that you respect that as well. All right. We want to be loving and caring for one another. So don't think that if the pastor don't shake your hands or don't usually hug the way he normally does, don't think that the pastor is rejecting you. Okay. It's not. Actually, the pastor is protecting you. you know, like this week, for instance, you know, I've been, we've been doing like some anointing services at two nights before we did one here in the regional hospital. And guess what? The whole hospital is kind of like shut down. It's crazy. You know, we started doing with one of the elders from the other church. You know, we went to anoint this person. And then, you know, the other patients that were on the other room, they said, hey, at least you think you could pray for us as well, because, you know, I haven't seen the doctor for the last 2 days. They haven't come. I'm in pain. And if you go, for instance, you know, like there's only one door that you could go in and you could go out. So it's kind of crazy. Do you imagine now if the hospital closed, specifically when the hospital is supposed to be open, you know, when it comes to these matters, right? But that's why, you know, people get discouraged. That's how people get panicking. But let's not get to that level, okay? As a matter of fact, we believe in God, right? We believe in God. So let's put everything in God's hands. I'm grateful and I'm very happy to see Kong, Carissa. I saw Isaiah back there, heavenly. Delilah, thank you. I know it's a big sacrifice for you guys, especially I heard that you live far, far, far away. Were you preparing for the coronavirus or what? Okay, all right. Well, we're very happy to see you. Nestor, don't think I don't recognize you. I know you're sitting all the way on the back over there. How many of you know Nestor? Nestor is a young, you know, like preacher. He has preached here, and I know he'll be preaching pretty soon as well here. Sarah, praise the Lord. We continue praying for you. And thank you for sharing that, you know, God is working in your life and that you're getting well. David, we miss you as well. Amen, amen. Praise God. And Kim as well. I haven't seen Kim for a while, but now it's a pleasure to see. Anybody else? I know we have some families also, like the Pantoja family. Mike was here last night, as, you know, doing in the Bible study. I had the privilege actually to even hold. Do you remember his name? Caleb? Okay, so, but praise God for that. Let's see if, oh, it's working now. I was just giving Sam some time. All right, let's just pray in Jesus' name. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, to humble ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we ask, Father, that you give us that understanding. So in a way, Father, understand your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. It has been a blessing. How many of you were part of that prayer, the week of prayer? Praise God. I had enjoyed that week. I know I missed one day. But it has been a blessing to see everybody coming every evening to get in circle and to pray for one another, specifics for unity. That was just an amazing thing. So praise the Lord for that. Now, how many of you pray? How many of you pray 3 times a day? Okay. Is there anybody else that pray more than 3 times a day? Okay, praise the Lord. It depends on the day, huh? Now, did you know that Jesus told his disciples that they should pray, ask who? The Father in his name. Yes? Now, let me ask you this. Do you understand? You people of prayer, right? Now, do you really, really understand when you prayed in the name of Jesus? Do you know what that means? Do you really know what that means? Praying in Jesus' name. How many of you know that? Do you know specific? What's praying in Jesus' name is all about? Because the Bible tells us what really that is. Praying in Jesus' name. Now, the first thing that the Bible teach us what's praying in Jesus' name is that we are to remain in Christ. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Let's go to the book of John. John chapter 14, verse 13 through 14. And that was actually our call to worship this morning. But look at your Bibles. I have it here as well. But I would like for you to also look in your Bibles. And look what he says, because this is actually Jesus' promise. And I will do whatever you ask in what? In my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I what? Huh. Now what? And I will do whatever you ask in my name. Do you know how many people ask in Jesus' name to win the lottery? I'm serious. But what happens? What happens? Well, the Bible tells me that whatever I ask in Jesus' name, he will do it. But how come when I pray to win the lotto, how come I don't win it? With this, my brothers and sisters, be careful what you ask in Jesus' name. Be careful. Because, see, the text doesn't end right there. Because the text says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be what? Glorified in the Son. So when you ask In Jesus' name, whatever you ask is to glorify who? The Father. That's what the Bible teaches. It's not about glorifying you. It's about glorifying who? The Father. So you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. However, Jesus also added in John 15, verse 7, look at what he said. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, Jesus adds something, another piece, to what is praying in his name. Because he's saying, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then he says what? Ask whatever you wish. So my brothers and sisters, praying in the name of Jesus is not just a simple prayer. Praying in the name of Jesus is not asking Jesus whatever you want, even though that's what the Bible said. But we missed the most important thing. Because it says there that if you remain in me, meaning what? If you obeyed Jesus, right? And my words remain in you, in other words, if you obedience to him, then he said you should ask whatever. Whatever you wish for. With this, I'm not trying to tell you that do this, practice this, so that you could ask and you will win the lotto. Because we will learn something else, what really glorifies God. So there is a key here, my brothers and sisters. If we want to pray in the name of Jesus, that means we must have a close relationship with who? With him. We have to have what? A close relationship with him. If we go back to verse 5, look at what it says. I am the vine. What else does it say? You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. So my brothers and sisters, nothing will be done if you don't remain in who? In Jesus. Nothing what you ask for will be provided, in other words, if you are not obedient to his words. Obviously, we know in the Bible, right, the things that you would ask for. Do you know the things that you should be asking for? Because as a matter of fact, if you read, for instance, in Matthew chapter 5 all the way to chapter 8, you will find the Sermon of the Mount, right? Where Jesus teaches the disciples and everybody and teaches us as well what he will be providing for you. Do you know what he will provide? He says that he will provide what? Your needs. Yes or no? Now, let me ask you, what is your need? Praise the Lord. See, someone knows the word of God. See, a lot of people will say, we need shelter, we need food, we need clothes. Yes, that's fine. But what we most need is who? It's Jesus. Because the text before that we read, it says that we are nothing without Jesus. We're nothing. We cannot do nothing without him. And that's the reason what he says, that whenever you ask in his name, that means that you remain in him and his words you obeyed. That's exactly what he says. So people's greatest need is who? It's Jesus. So what you need in your life is more of Jesus. That's what we need. So remain in who? In Jesus. Praying in the name of Jesus means we are to remain in Him. In other words, now, but praying in the name of Jesus also means that we accept the will of the Father. We accept God's what? Will. Matthew 6:10, it says that your will be done. Yes or no? Isn't that what Matthew 6:10 says? Your will be done. And Jesus, my brothers and sisters, lived in harmony with this. Because it was Jesus, in a way, that fulfilled God's what? Will. It was Jesus that remained in the Father. It was Jesus that was obedient to God's will. Because God's will was for Jesus what? To be sacrificed. For His Son to give His life. And guess what? Was Jesus obedient to that? That was actually His expression. In harmony with the Lord. You know, in Gethsemane, right? In His moments of agony, in His moment of great despair, at the time when the temptation to leave the cross almost was finalized, Jesus prayed, right? Matthew 26, verse 39. Not as I will, but as what? You will, Lord. Now, how many of you pray in the name of Jesus, accepting God's will? Do you know what God's will is? Let me put it this way. John, and not John here, okay? John was a farmer. His life depended on farming. To support his family, he depends on the crop. But there was a drought. And I think you're familiar what drought is all about, right? But John believed in God. He wasn't, you know, that person that he barely, you know, went to school to third grade. He didn't know much academically. But he knew about God. And he knew about farming. And he knew that farming depends on water. Yes or no? I mean, if you drive in the valley, if you drive up Pacheco Highway all the way to Los Baños or Los Banos, or you drive all the way to Fresno and all that, you will see signs along the highway that say, we need water, we need water. Pray for water. Farmers depend on what? On water. We depend on water as well. So that year, he knew that if there was not even a single drop of rain, he was going to lose his crop. So he prayed to the Lord. He said, Lord, you know I depend on this. You know my family depends on this. Please bring the rain. A couple months passed by. No rain at all. So what do you think John did? He lost everything. He depended on that to support his family. So one morning, John decided to pray to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't know if you're hearing me, but just in case you don't hear me, I'm going to write a letter to you. So he wrote a letter. Lord, I know that your Holy Scripture says that if I ask in your name, things will be given unto me. But I don't know what happened. I've been asking for the rain, but I don't see no rain. I don't know if you've been hearing me. I just want to let you know, Lord, that the loss that I have and to be able to support my family and to be able to farm again for the next season, I'm going to need $120. Thank you, Lord. John. So he put it in an envelope. And in the envelope, of course, he put like from John to God. He took it to the nearest post office. Put the letter there. Huh. You know, the people that worked there, they were like curious. And they're like, from John to God. So one of the person, he decided to bring that to the manager. And the manager said, well, you know, do you know this person? Do you know who this person is? And everybody said, no, we don't know. He only says John, no address, no nothing. And he was curious. So maybe he said, maybe inside there is more information. So he opened the envelope. And he read the letter. He was compelled. So he was thinking about that. He went home. And he was thinking about this letter. So 2 days passed by. So he decided, he took a $100 bill and put it in another envelope. And he put it from God to John. So guess what? Couple days later, John showed up. And he went and he asked and he said, hey, I wanted to know if there is a letter for me. And then the person said, as a matter of fact, I think there is. And there it was. So as John was going, walking back home, he opened the letter and he saw $100 bill. So he said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I knew deep in my heart that you were not going to abandon me. So he made it home. He got home. He grabbed another piece of paper. And he said, Lord, thank you so much. The $100 I will receive. We thank you. I praise you for everything. You are an awesome God, and I know you are a provider. And then he put P.S., do not forget that I need $20 more. Took it back to the post office. But my brothers, we need to accept God's will as it is. You know, God actually has greater things for you. How many of you have been praying for something, maybe for years? And I'm not telling you to discourage you that you should stop praying about that. But maybe it's about time that you accept God's will. Maybe it's about time that you understand what God's will is all about. Maybe if you are praying because the other person is to change, maybe you are to accept God's will that person will not change unless you change. Maybe as parents, you are praying for your children yearly. You've been praying about that for your child to change. But maybe you need to pray for yourself. We know God works mysteriously, yes? God does. There are a lot of things that had happened in my life that, you know, I could share with you. That you'll think that, wow, that's not normal. Even the Bible, my brothers and sisters, the Bible teaches in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 9, and you could read it at home, but Paul basically was praying. And guess what? And if you read, you know, if you go back and read basically, you know, the whole chapter, you will see Paul praying at least three times about something specific. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. What do you think Paul was praying about? Three times. Huh? Torn. Three times he claims. In other words, divine healing. Three times he actually prayed to the Lord to take away the sting, right? That tormented him day and night. Three times he begged to be free from that terrible disease. Three times. However, despite right having made the request, guess what was God's answer? And you can read it at the end of 2 Corinthians chapters 9. It says, "My grace is sufficient for you." How many of you say amen? Whose grace? God's grace. It's enough for us, my brothers and sisters. It's sufficient. That lead us then, my brothers and sisters, that when we prayed in the name of Jesus, we are to remain in Jesus. Amen? We are to be obedient to his word. But not just that, when we prayed in the name of Jesus, we are to accept God's will for us. But that lead us also that when we prayed in Jesus' name, we have to be in harmony with the word of God. We have to be in harmony with the word of God. John 14, chapter 15 tells us, look at what he says. If you love me, what does he say? Keep what? If you love Jesus, in other words, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to be obedient to his law. You're supposed to keep his commandment. That is being in harmony with the word of God. That's being in harmony when you listen to the voice of God. That means you are obedient to his command. And even the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is what? Think about that, my brothers and sisters. Think about that. Praying in the name of Jesus is being in harmony with the word of God. Because if you are not, what your prayer will be? What does the Bible say? It will be an abomination to the Lord. Praying, my brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus means a lot. Not just remaining in Christ. Not just accepting God's will, but also it's about being in harmony with his words. It's about, in other words, keeping his commandments. Otherwise, my brothers and sisters, don't pray. You waste your time. Because your prayers will be what? An abomination. An abomination to the Lord, my brothers and sisters. It's in vain. If you pray, the biggest problems of many of us is that when we yearn for God to answer our prayers, right? We do not want to pay attention to his word. God already tells us. God already knows. He knows everything. Because we know for a fact that God is the only one that knows our hearts. And God knows if you're obedient to him or not. God knows. We could deceive each other, my brothers and sisters. We could do that. That leads us that praying in the name of Jesus, it's also being saved by grace. How many of you say amen to that? Because do you know, for instance, there is a lot of people, there is a lot of Christians, for instance, that they believe the prayer will save them. And for instance, we have an example in the Bible when it comes to that. Luke chapter 18, verse 19 through 13. How about if you look into your Bibles real quick? Let's read this together. Look at what happened, for instance, to this Pharisee. There was a Pharisee and there was a tax collector. Okay? Let's read it together. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 13. Look at what he says. This is Jesus. He also spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, who was it? A Pharisee. And the other, a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. And then he gives, right, a list what the other men he refers to are. Right? Unjust. Yeah. Thief. And he even mentioned, and I'm not even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes all that I possess, and the tax collector, standing afar off, will not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, think about this, my brothers and sisters. Was the Pharisee a man of prayer? Yes, he was. Everybody knew that he was what? A man of prayer. Because he will pray in public. He will go and pray in the synagogue. And everybody knew that he was a man of prayer. But was his prayer answer? Or were his prayers even looked upon God? Because you see his prayers. Lord, I fast, right? Lord, I go to the synagogue every Sabbath. Lord, I give more than what I'm supposed to give with tithes and offerings. And Lord, I'm not just like these sinners. I'm not like them. Do you think God will answer a prayer like that? Do you think God will hear a prayer like that? My brothers and sisters, prayer does not save. Prayer does not give merit to inherit heaven. But many, unfortunately, think that by showing that they're people of prayer, they had already won heaven. So be careful. Be careful what you ask in Jesus' name. Because the Bible teaches that praying in Jesus' name is about what? Remaining in Christ. It's accepting God's will. It's being in harmony with his words. But mostly, it's being saved by what? By grace. Look at what Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name what? Jesus, For he will save his people from what? So who is the one that will save you? It's Jesus. Not your prayers. It's Jesus. That means you are saved by grace. Look at what Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be what? Saved. So the only one who could save you is who? It's Jesus. Not your prayers. It's Jesus. Romans chapter 10 verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brothers and sisters, when we prayed in the name of Jesus, we are recognizing that we are nothing without Jesus. That we cannot be saved by other people. Our trust should be in who? In Jesus. We should not even trust people. We should trust Jesus. Because he is the only one who could save us. Luke chapter 18 verse 13 says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Shouldn't your prayer be like that? Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, may your will be done. Lord, I am in harmony with your word. Lord, I am obedient to your commandments. And I just want to share what Ellen White teaches and tells us real quick about what's praying. In the name of Jesus. She says in that beautiful, and by the way, I would recommend you, if you want to know what prayer is all about, I recommend you to invest. Get this book, Prayer. It's called Prayer. All right? Chapter 20, page 261. Look what she says. Praying in the name of Jesus means a lot. We learned that, right? Because the Bible tells us so. It means a lot. Right? It means that we have to accept his character, manifest his spirit, and perform his words. Praying in the name of Jesus is more than a mere mention of his name at the beginning and at the end of prayer. It is to pray with the feelings and spirit of Jesus, believing in his promises, trusting in his grace, and doing what? His works. In the name of Jesus, we can come to the presence of God with the confidence of a child. It is not necessary for any man to serve as a mediator. Through Jesus, we can open our hearts to God as those who know and love us. How many of you say amen to that? My brothers and sisters, I just leave you with this. Praying in the name of Jesus is not just a praying in the name of Jesus means that you remain in him. If you remain in him, you need to know him. Amen. Praying in the name of Jesus means that you accept his will. Even whatever you ask him, he will never give it to you because he knows better. Praying in the name of Jesus means that you will be in harmony with his word. And in order for you to be in harmony with his word, that means that you need to study his word. That means you need to spend time in the Bible. That means you need to spend time in the Holy Scripture. In order for you to understand what his commandments are, in order for you to be obedient to that, you need to know what God, what Jesus is saying to you. There is no other way. Praying in the name of Jesus, my brothers and sisters, means that you are saved by grace. Not by your merits. So don't pray to Jesus whatever you do. Because you are saved by grace. You are only saved by his holy name. Meaning, you are saved by the only begotten Son that gave His life on the cross. So my brothers, I pray, my sisters, my prayer is that from now on, when you pray in Jesus' name, be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you pray for, my brothers and sisters. Because now you know what the Bible teaches, what praying in the name of Jesus it's all about. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your Holy Scripture. It is the truth. Father, as we learned this morning about what praying in the name of Jesus is all about, Lord, our prayers may not be those regular prayers. May it not be just a poem or poetry. May it be, Father, the real us, who we really are. We are sinners, Lord. And the Holy Scripture teaches us that we are nothing without you. So, Lord, we know that praying in your name is glorifying the Father. Praying in your name means that we are your friend. And if we are your friend, Jesus, that means that we know you. And praying in Jesus' name, that means, Lord, that we are to accept, even in our desperation, even that we know, Lord, that maybe that answer might not be the one that we're looking for. But praying in Jesus' name is accepting God's will. And thy will should be done in our life. But praying in the name of Jesus means, Lord, that we need to be in harmony with your words. That means we need to know your words. We need to know your commandments. But not just to know your commandments, my Father, we need to also keep those commandments. We need to be obedient to you. How beautiful it is, Lord, that we know that praying in Jesus' name means that we are saved by grace. It's only through you, Father. We are nothing without you. So, Lord, as we continue connecting with you in prayer, Father, may our prayers be the ones that will glorify the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.